Now, we are delighted tonight to have our sister Gillian with us. She was with us this morning, but tonight she's going to do a wee bit of speaking. And it's just a meeting this evening to welcome her officially into the congregation to do the children's work among the boys and girls. And just in a few minutes' time, I'm going to ask Gillian to come up. She's going to give her testimony and tell us how the Lord called her to Bethel. Mrs. Gray is going to come up also. And is going to present her with a bouquet of flowers and a welcome her on behalf of the congregation. But before that happens, I want to welcome Gillian here on behalf of the session and the committee of this congregation here in Bethel. And we are delighted that the Lord has called her here to the Children's Crusade to work among the boys and girls. And as far as the session is concerned, we believe that it is an answer to our prayers. And of course, when Mrs. Gray indicated that she was retiring from the children's work, the session then had to meet and to consider the matter and also to pray very definitely about the matter, that the Lord would lead and guide. And over a number of months, we did that. And, well, this is the end product this evening. And I want to thank the session for the wisdom that they have shown in this regard. And I believe with all my heart that God's will has been done. And we do pray that the Lord will bless Gillian as she comes amongst us, and that the Lord will continue to keep his hand upon the children's work. So, Gillian, on behalf of the session and the committee, you're very, very welcome here this evening. Now, I'll ask you and Mrs. Gray to come up. Come on ahead. I know you are very timid about coming into the pulpit, but don't be. Come on ahead. I don't know where you're going to stand.
It's just to welcome you into the children's crusade and probably and pray the Lord bless you.
It's a joy and a privilege to be here with you in Bethel. And I should just say, my name is Gillian. I don't want anybody saying Miss Gillespie and Miss Gillespie, because I'd be looking over my shoulder and saying, who's not answering to their name? So just please call me Gillian. I had the privilege of spending most of my growing up in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm there quite a long time, because I remember attending Sunday school in the old wooden hall. And for those of you who have been in the Free Church any length of time, you will maybe also remember the old wooden hall in the bottom car park. And that's where I first attended Sunday school. And I thank the Lord for faithful Sunday school teachers who broke the bread of life in small pieces that I was able to understand. And I was quite encouraged by what the Reverend Gray said this morning about the session taking an interest in the younger people in the church. And it was really through the interest of the older members in our church in Armagh that started to make me think, even as a child, these people really do care about me. Because if you were missing a couple of Sundays from Sunday school, the superintendent back then, Mr. Richardson, would have asked, now, Gillian, where have you been? So you had to answer him. And then the man at the door, Albert Parr, he would have said, Gillian, I haven't seen you out. You know, were you sick? No. What were you doing? Well, you didn't want to tell him you were sitting watching cartoons. But it was their interest. And so I would encourage the older folk in the church, take an interest in the young ones, because you never know what impact that will have on their lives. It was on the 12th of November, 19, blah, 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 when I was almost 10 years of age, that the Lord began to speak to my heart. It was in the Armstrong Primary School, and the Reverend Cook every Friday morning came to take the Free Presbyterian young people for a scripture class, and all the other ministers would come and gather their young people too. But Mr. Cook's class, though we had a small church at that time, his class just tend to get bigger and bigger and bigger until the room was really packed. And the reason for that was, well, Mr. Cook was a very smart man, because all the other ministers were handing out big, long essays for their students to write for them for the next day. And Mr. Cook just gave us one verse from the Bible to learn each week. Now, it doesn't take anybody to be a genius to work out. Learn one verse from the Bible or write a big, long essay. Where would you rather be? One verse. And so many boys and girls learnt God's word there in the Armstrong Primary School. But it was there that I began to hear God speak to my heart. And I remember saying to a friend, Rhonda, you know, I need to get saved. And she says, Gillian, you don't need to get saved. Now, these are 9-year-olds talking. You don't need to get saved. You're a good girl. You don't say bad language. You don't go to discos. You don't drink. Drink at 9. You know, you don't say bad words. So, I mean, there's even a 9-year-old, and it shows us the darkness even of a child's heart. And a child's heart that was brought up in the Free Church the same as myself. But the Lord really began to speak. And I knew the week after that I needed to get saved. I needed to come and put my faith and trust in the Lord. And the Lord used my granny. Because I'm sitting in Mr. Cook's class, and I can hear the Lord saying even today to my heart, now if you want to meet granny, you know, when granny dies, she's going to heaven. But you won't be going to heaven because you're not saved. And then it really hit home. If you're a granny here, witness to your grandchildren. Tell them of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they will listen to you or whether they'll just giggle and laugh and play. But remember, you're sowing the seed. I thank God for godly grandmothers. And so it was that the Lord used this to bring me to himself. And I spoke with the Reverend Cook and he pointed me to the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the scriptures that it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say for whosoever is an adult, for whosoever has a degree, for whosoever has finished their schooling, for whosoever is a big person, or whoever is a smaller person. It doesn't say that. The Word of God tells us, for whosoever shall call. And I was able to call. I knew what all those words meant. And so I called upon the name of the Lord that day, and the Lord graciously saved me. And I thanked the Lord because I was the first person in our house to get saved. Though we were sent along to the Free Church, we were only really sent there because Mommy could send us on and Daddy could send us on because it meant we didn't have to cross any roads. We could walk round from where we were living at the time without crossing a road. So that's the reason we came to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. But I thank the Lord for his goodness to us. I would ask you to pray for all our children. All the little ones that come to Sunday school, those that aren't there too often, pray for them. Because salvation is of the Lord. It doesn't say just to the adults, but it's of the Lord for all who will believe, for all who will call upon the Lord. I thank the Lord for his goodness to us. As we grew up, the Lord had his hand upon us. We weren't always good. We did those things that disappointed the Lord. But the Lord did keep his good hand of protection upon us. And the Lord did lead and guide and help us in our lives. And it was as a teenager that the Lord began to speak to me about full-time service. And so it was, I entered the Whitfield College the same time as Olive. And that's how I know Olive and the Scott family. That's from just a few years back. But we're thankful, even for friendships made there in college. The Lord opened doors of service for us. Finishing the Whitfield, the Lord opened doors to go down to the Martyrs to work amongst the shut-ins and the elderly and the sick. And that was a great cultural experience for a wee country girl like me, even though I come from the great city of Armagh. Going down to Belfast was a very new experience. But the Lord did undertake for us and help us there. And then the Lord led us to go to Kenya. And that was another cultural experience for us. What a joy it was to meet with the folk there and to get to know their language. I was all pleased last night. There was a program on TV and the guys were speaking in Swahili and there were subtitles underneath, and I still didn't need the subtitles. I was very pleased with myself. But I can say that I do miss Kenya. I do miss the heat. All this cold weather doesn't suit me. But this is where the Lord would have us be. And I would ask you to pray for the work in Kenya, that the Lord would continue to bless there, especially in Kakamega, and down there in the villages of Nyaporo and Kaimba, that the Lord would send someone else to stand in the gap in a full-time way down amongst those villages, that the people there will be taught more of the great things that are contained in this most precious book. We're thankful that Noel Shields is there at the minute, standing in the gap, but we need someone to make up the hedge and to stand there on a permanent basis. So why would I leave the heat of Kenya? Why would I leave waking up every morning to see blue, blue skies and to hear the lovely birds outside and to hear my choir in my hedge at the back of all the insects and the toads and the tree frogs? I had first sopranos, I had second sopranos, I had tenors, bass, double bass, even treble basses. At night you could hear a lovely chorus of music coming from the insects there. So why come home? Well, I came home because the Lord made it clear from his word that I was to come home. The Lord tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I personally thought I was in Kenya for life. Until I retired, that's where I was based. So it has come as quite a surprise that the Lord has said, come home. Because I did love Kenya and I loved the people. I loved life there. Yes, it's different. Yes, the roads are not good. I don't miss that. I quite enjoy the good roads here in Fermanagh and in Northern Ireland. But every time it came to the renewing of our work permits, now this happened every 2 to 3 years, each one of us on the team would be coming before the Lord. Lord, do you want us to renew this permit again? You cannot stay in Kenya unless you have a work permit given by the government. And so every time you're very unsettled for quite a while, you know, Lord, do you want me to do this? Am I to go ahead with this? And so I began, Lord, really, what am I to do? And that wee verse there in Deuteronomy 32 and 11, it says, "As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." The Lord began to stir up my nest in a big way. Lord, do you want me to go to a different area in Kenya? Because I don't mind going. The Lord says, no. Do you want me to go home? And for quite a long time, the Lord kept saying no. And then just coming up to Easter of this year, Lord, I have to give an answer to the mission board by the end of this month of what I'm to do. So, Lord, I really need you to speak to me one way or the other. Am I to stay? Or am I to go somewhere else? Or am I to go home? So it was quite a shock when the Lord began to show me that I was to come home. And it was very difficult. because I've said I was very happy where I was. I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed the work. I enjoyed seeing the progress that my literacy ladies were making. That they were learning to read. They could read the Bible for themselves. Others were coming along. Others were just starting on the journey of learning to read, learning that A sounds A, B sounds B, C sounds K, and so forth. And then joining the sounds together to make words. I enjoyed seeing the progress in my ladies' lives. But the Lord had other things in plan for us. And it was strange because friends of mine in Armagh began texting me. My friend Norma says, "Gillian, we're having a week of meetings in Armagh. You must download these messages." And do you know who it was? I thought about it this afternoon. I thought, that's strange. That's the Lord. The Reverend Dean, a Bethel man, was preaching a series in Armagh on knowing God's will. Nobody in Armagh knew of the turmoil on my soul. So Norma says, "You have to download these messages." And then another friend, she texts, she says, "Gillian, we're having a blessed time under God's word. Download those messages from the Reverend Dean." My uncle texts me, "Gillian, we're just up from Armagh tonight, and you really need to download those messages of the Reverend Dean." So in total, 4 people inside 1 week told me to download those messages. And if you are a young person or an older person and you're seeking God's will, can I encourage you, go to Armagh Free Presbyterian website, download the messages from the Reverend Dean on knowing God's will. Powerful stuff. And so we listened to those messages, and God began to really speak inside a very short period of time. And I suppose like Saul of Tarsus, I was crying to the Lord, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What am I to do?" And the Lord encourages through his word because he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." And so the Lord really was stirring up my nest. He was looking me out of my comfort zone and into another place. And the Lord spoke to us there through Micah chapter 2 and verse 10. "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest." Lord, is that you telling me to leave? And then again, Genesis 28:15, "And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest." I wasn't staying, I was to go. Lord, am I to leave here and go home? Judges 6:14, "Go in this thy might, have not I sent thee?" So I knew I was going home. I'm not ashamed to say I sat down and I cried and I cried. Because I was leaving a people I knew and I loved. And the reality of others going to stand in the gap, well, I hadn't even heard a whisper of anybody else interested in going. Maybe out of this church, God will call someone and send them to help in the work there in Yaporo and Kaimba villages and in Kakamega town. But I know without a shadow of a doubt that I was to come home. Now, I must say that in January, the Reverend Gray was out with us with the Reverend Harris and the 2 Reverend Murrays. And he said, "You know, Gillian, Arlene's looking to retire." He told me, and I says, "Okay, right, okay." And then he said again at another occasion, I'm thinking, why is he telling me this again? But he didn't say, "Gillian, come you and stand in the gap." I just thought, the sun must be affecting him. But never did I think that I would be here today. When I phoned the Reverend Harris and tendered my resignation from Kenya, it was a hard day. But I thought, after having read so many missionary stories, normally when single missionary ladies come home, they go into secular work. And that just doesn't go for the Free Church. It goes worldwide. So I thought, well, Lord, you have sent me home. You're sending me back to Northern Ireland. I'm convinced of that. So, Lord, now I need you to get me a job. And I thought, I'm going into an office, I'm going into a shop, I'm going to be doing something else. But shortly after speaking with the Reverend Harris, a day or so later, I got an email from the Reverend Gray on behalf of the session saying about the work here and would I consider taking on the post. And I was totally shocked, and I remembered again, oh, he told me a couple of times about Arlene retiring. Ooh! But I thought, how could I take on that job? And I didn't want to jump into something that was not of the Lord. Because you can make havoc. And I did not want to make havoc in the work here. And so I prayed and I says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do again? And the Lord spoke to us there from Romans 2. Because I says, Lord, I need you to speak to me this day. Romans chapter 2 was my reading for that morning, and I thought, there's nothing there about children. I'm not going to Bethel. I'm going somewhere else. The Lord has someone else for the work there in Bethel. But in Romans chapter 2 and verse 19 it says, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. A teacher of babes. And so I knew I was coming to Bethel. The Lord was telling me, I want you to teach the children. Teach them what? Well, to be a guide to them, to lead them out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. To be a teacher of the foolish, because children at best are foolish. We have to teach them good from wrong. Those who are saved need to be taught how to stand fast in Christ. They need to be instructed what this book says to them. And so here I stand before you today, confident that the Lord has called me home, and confident that I'm here to stand in the gap in Bethel. And I trust that you will uphold us in prayer. And I asked the Lord for a job, and I also asked the Lord for a house. Because I thought, well, Lord, I need somewhere to live. And little did I know that with the position here in Bethel, there was a house. And then when I heard the history of the house, wow, God had it all planned. Can I thank the committee for all the work that they've done down in the house, and especially to Jeff and his able assistant, June, and for David as well. The house is lovely. Do you know the walls are straight? There's no gaps in the windows. When you switch on the light switch, it doesn't spark at you. When you have a shower, you don't get an electric shock. There's no big footprints in the cement, in the hallway in the house. So I have a beautiful home, and I would like to thank them sincerely, and for the work teams who went in and did so much work. I'm so glad you changed the colour of the kitchen from bright pink to a nice green. It looks so much better. Now, I like pink, but not in the kitchen. Thank you sincerely for that. And when I arrived at the house on Tuesday, there was a lovely bunch of flowers. There were some lovely bickies. There was a nice box of chocolates. And there was a box of Kenyan tea. So that almost undid me. So thank you so much for that. I feel as if we are in a relay race in the Children's Crusade. Auntie Edna started that race. And then she held out the baton. And Arlene took the baton and ran with it. And now I'm trying to catch up to Arlene to take on that baton, to run further. That baton is not a piece of wood. The baton we run with is the Word of God. It's infallible. It changed my life and it can change the lives of the boys and girls. Can I ask you to pray also for us that the Lord would bless our ministry amongst the children, that we will see great things accomplished for our Saviour, that we'll see many precious little souls come to faith in Christ, that we'll see many of our boys and girls who are saved growing up in the knowledge of our Saviour, not children who are blown about by every wind of doctrine, but children who do know their God and will do exploits for him. Can I ask you also to pray for my boxes? They're somewhere, I think, in England at the minute. I was told that when they left my house on the 17th of July, 7 weeks they would be in Enniskillen. We're now, I think, into our 10th week, 11th week. They're not here. All my children's stuff is in my boxes. Do pray that it will come quickly. And please come and introduce yourself to me. If I walk past you in town, it's not that I'm snubbing you, I'm a little dense. You need to keep telling me who you are. But please, let us get to know one another and let's see the kingdom of God extended here in Enniskillen. Thank you.
Amen. May the Lord bless that wonderful testimony to all of our hearts. And we do pray that the Lord will bless Gillian. I know that we have been, you have been, and I know that you will continue to remember around the throne of grace. And just as you prayed for Mrs. Gray at every meeting, every prayer meeting, I would exhort you to pray for our sister Gillian and pray for the workers. We thank God for the band of workers that we have among the children. And of course, there's always room for more. And if there's young people or older people here tonight and you'd like to get involved in the children's work and encourage our sister Gillian, then you come to the meetings. Whatever meeting, you can come to help in. But do please remember our sister, especially around the throne of grace in prayer. If you have your Bible with you, just as we come to close the meeting tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 25. As our sister was giving her testimony there, she, of course, drew her attention to the day when she was saved. And, of course, that's the greatest day in the Christian's life. The day they were born again of the Spirit of God. It's great to serve the Lord. The greatest privilege after salvation is to serve the Lord, to be in his service. But there's nothing greater. There's no greater blessing than to know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Because someday, very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. That's why those of us who are saved, that's why we serve him. That's why we preach Christ and exhort sinners to come and trust the Lord Jesus. Because there is an eternity and because the Savior someday is coming back. And what a day that's going to be. It's going to be a great day for the saints of God, but it's going to be a terrible day. It's going to be an awful day for those who are not saved and born again of the Spirit of God. And for those in this meeting tonight without Christ, I would exhort you to prepare for eternity. Prepare for the second coming of Christ. Now, I know we live in an age when people do not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. They do not believe in the second coming of our Savior. But the Word of God teaches us clearly and plainly that someday the Lord Jesus will burst the clouds asunder. And here in Matthew chapter 25, which is a familiar portion of Scripture to God's people, we are told here about the Savior coming again. This parable of the 10 virgins that we read about here at the beginning of this chapter reveals to us clearly that the day is coming when the Saviour will come again. We have here, first of all, the certainty of Christ's second coming. Look what it says in the verse 6 of this portion of Scripture. "And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.'" Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom there is speaking of Christ. And it is speaking about the Savior's second advent. Now, we all know about his first advent when he was born in Bethlehem's manger, when he came as a little baby to this world. But he's coming again. He's not coming to a manger. He's not coming to a cross. He's not coming to be despised and spat upon. He's not coming to be put into a tomb. He's not coming to be humiliated. But rather, he is coming as judge of all the earth. He's coming with 10,000 of his saints. He's coming in power and in glory. He's coming triumphantly. He's coming personally. He's coming physically again to this earth. He's coming bodily. And the question at the close of the meeting tonight is this: are you prepared for that second coming? Are you prepared for the coming of the bridegroom? Isn't it wonderful that our sister Gillian tonight, give her testimony, tells us how that she was prepared and is prepared for the second coming of Christ because she was saved. And my friend, I could get many in this meeting to come up to the pulpit right now and they would testify that they have made that necessary preparation as well. But I'm asking you tonight. You've heard the gospel many times. I believe as you've come and sat in this church and heard the gospel that you have come under conviction of sin. You may not have said anything. You may not have made that known to anyone. But I believe with all my heart that you can't sit under the sound of the gospel and not be spoken to by the Lord, by his Holy Spirit striving in your heart. And I believe that there's those here tonight and over these past weeks and months, maybe even years now, the Lord has been working in your heart and you know that you're not ready to die and you know you're not prepared for the second coming of Christ and you know deep down in your heart that if you were to die right now, you would be lost in hell forever. Well, my friend, I would exhort you this evening, prepare to meet thy God. For the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the second person in the Holy Trinity, very soon will burst the clouds asunder. The bridegroom is coming again. Of that there is no doubt. And I pray that the Holy Spirit tonight will impress that truth upon your heart and upon your soul. Now, take a look with me there at verses 10 and 12, because you'll not only, or verse 10, not only will you see the certainty of Christ's second coming here, but you'll see the reality at Christ's second coming. Look what it says in verse 10. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." The reality will be that there will be those who will be ready when Christ comes again, and there will be those who will not be ready when Christ comes again. There will be those who will enter in to the marriage supper of the Lamb when Christ returns again, and there will be those who will not return, will not enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb. The reality at Christ's second coming is this: there will be those who will be saved and those who will not be saved. We live in an age and some people believe that everyone's going to get into heaven. In other words, when the bridegroom comes again, it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter how you've lived, you're going to get into heaven. The door of heaven will be opened And the Lord Jesus Christ will automatically bring everyone into glory. That's not what the parable is teaching. This parable about the second coming of Christ. Here, this parable is clearly teaching us that when the bridegroom comes, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again the second time, there will be those who will be ready and those who will not be ready. There will be those who will enter into the marriage supper, and there will be those who will not enter in. You see, Christ here speaks about the importance of having oil in your lamp. Speaks here about the importance of having oil in your lamp. Look at verse 3. And of course, the oil here in the lamp speaks about the Holy Spirit. So it is speaking here about those who are born again of the Spirit of God and saved by the grace of God, and those who are not born again of the Spirit of God. Look at verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered and said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, they that had the oil in their lamps, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. My friend, let me ask you a question tonight. The meeting is almost over. Have you oil in your lamp? Say to me, preacher, what do you mean, oil in my lamp? Does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Now, the only way that the Holy Spirit of God can dwell within you is if you're born again of the Spirit of God. That's what being born again means. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And he said that, of course, to a religious Pharisee, one who prayed, one who read the Scriptures, one who the people looked up to as a religious leader. And yet this religious Pharisee was not prepared for death and eternity. And that's why Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." And that phrase, born again, means born from above. It means born of God's Holy Spirit. And of course, you're only born of God's Holy Spirit. You're only born again when you kneel by faith at the cross and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Now, Gillian told us tonight, when she bowed by faith and asked the Lord Jesus to save her, when she received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into her life, when she was born of God, born from above. When were you born again? When did the Holy Spirit come to live and to dwell within you? My friend, when Jesus comes again, if you haven't the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you'll not be ready. You'll not be prepared. And you'll not get in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Only those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within them, only those who are saved by the grace of God, only those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, only those who can look back to that day when they were redeemed and saved for time and eternity, will enter in with the bridegroom into heaven. The Lord Jesus is coming back for his people, for his redeemed children. And when he comes, they will enter in with him to their eternal rest in glory forever. Oh, the certainty of this coming. He's coming. The bridegroom will come. The reality at his coming is this, that there will be those who will be ready and those who will not be ready. Are you ready? If the Lord Jesus came back again tonight, this very night, would you be ready? Take a look again at verse 10 and 12. I want you to notice the calamity at Christ's second coming. Look what it says in verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. My, the calamity at Christ's second coming will be this, that the door of opportunity will be closed forever. And those who are not ready, those who are not prepared, will be shut out of heaven for all eternity. Shut out of heaven. The five foolish virgins went to buy oil, but they were too late. And by the time they got back to the marriage, the bridegroom had come. The five wise virgins with oil in their lamps had gone in with the bridegroom, and the door was shut, and it was never to be opened again. Couldn't be opened. They knocked on the door. Open, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Lord says, I don't know you. My friend, you can come to church every week, but if you're not saved, the Lord doesn't know you. You can read a Bible and say a prayer. You can act religious and be religious, and the Lord not know you. You know, when you study these 10 versions, there's so much alike in many different ways. They're all virgins. They've all got lamps. They all went out to meet the bridegroom. They all expected to enter into the marriage. But as I've pointed out, five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Five had oil and five had not. And for the five foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamps, they were shut out of heaven. What a calamity. What a calamity to come to the Free Presbyterian all your life, hear the gospel, know that you need to be saved, know that Jesus died and rose again in order to save you, and be shut out of heaven. What a calamity. And yet, friend, if you die in your sin rejecting Christ as your Savior, if you're still on earth when Christ comes back and you're not saved, that will be your fate, that will be your destiny. That's why I exhort you tonight, come to Christ, come to the Savior. Trust in him. You need this evening to make preparation for the second coming of Christ. Look again at verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let me read you what it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 40. We read these words, Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Oh, we have the urgency of making preparation now for the second coming of Christ. You need to prepare. And you know, making preparation is the same for everyone. Whether you're a child, or whether you're an adult, whether you're 4 years of age, or 100 years of age, there's only one way to make preparation. And that's by faith kneeling at the cross and putting your faith in Christ as your Savior. My friend, unless you come as a little child to Jesus, you can't be saved. That's what Jesus said when he walked upon this scene of time. Coming to Christ as a little child just simply means humbling yourself before God. Little child, you see, when you explain the way of salvation and the child wants to get saved, doesn't start asking awkward questions. Doesn't start doubting whether you're telling them the truth or not. They'll believe you. Simplicity of the child, you see. That's why far more children get saved than adults. That's why the most of people who come to Christ get saved before they're 18 years of age. Did you know that? Because adults and older people complicate the message of the gospel when it's only a very simple message. You're a sinner on your way to hell. Jesus died to save you. And if you come and believe in him and accept him as your redeemer, you're saved. Oh, my friend, come to Christ tonight as the little child. Put your faith in him. And he'll save you. And then you'll make preparation for the second coming. My prayer is that as Gillian takes on this work, that she'll point many children to Christ. And that many who hear the message of the gospel will come and trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Let's pray.